Welcome to Courtside, everyone, a discussion of the post-election litigation brought by Donald Trump. It's day 51 after the election, Christmas Eve. And for that, we have none other than Donald Trump to thank. You might not have known this, but it's a little known fact that Hugo Chavez has been working with Joe Biden to cancel Christmas. It fell on our savior, Donald Trump, to uncancel Christmas. And so tonight, we thank him for saving Christmas. The litigation count stands at 1 out of 60 cases that Trump has won, and that one case got him 0 votes, zilch. Today, we had a major decision coming out of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 7th Circuit. This is the big Wisconsin case. Now, this is a case that Trump's already lost once, and today he lost it big time in the Court of Appeals. So it doesn't change the count of winning 1 out of 60. He'd already lost this case. Now he's just lost it twice. But it is really something that puts the final nail in the coffin for Donald Trump's litigation strategy, as I'll talk about in a moment. And Trump basically, you know, always complains that the judges aren't actually reaching the merits of the cases and so on. And he keeps on talking this nonsense. Now, partially, sometimes judges don't reach the merits in his cases because his lawyers are so bad, they keep botching their filings so the judges can't get to it. But partly it's also because of important concepts, legal concepts like standing, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. The idea that you actually have to have a concrete interest in the outcome of the case, and oftentimes he's botched that as well. The decision today is significant, however, because it goes right into the merits of Trump's claims and demolishes them. It said that Wisconsin, judges today said Wisconsin acted lawfully and that the accommodations that were made for absentee voting and COVID were permissible. And it also said, as some other courts have, that Trump sat on his hands for far too long and delayed bringing this lawsuit until it was way too late. And it's also significant because the court went out of its way today to demolish this theory that Trump and his lawyers have been relying on. And we've talked about it before. It's this idea that in Bush versus Gore, 3 justices said that the Constitution means only state legislatures can set the rules for elections and that courts or election officials have nothing to do with it. That has never commanded a majority of the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, the 7th Circuit totally rejected that idea and demolished it. Now, here's the thing. I'm sure if you're a Trumpista, you're thinking, wow, who wrote this decision? Was it like, it's 3 judges. So is it like Hugo Chavez, Karl Marx, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? No. It was written by a guy named Judge Michael Scudder. Judge Scudder was put on the bench on the U.S. Court of Appeals by a guy named Donald Trump. Indeed, the 3 judges that heard the case and decided it today, all appointed by Republican presidents. And to make matters worse, they affirmed a decision written by Judge Brett Ludwig. Who put Brett Ludwig on the bench? Donald Trump. Nail, coffin, done. In one more thing tonight, the sporadic news feature we've got where we dive into something else. You know, last night we talked about Bill Barr and his departure. And as I said, I think he will go down as the worst attorney general in our lifetimes. But he might have competition. He's got 27 days because there is a new sheriff in town, the new acting attorney general, a guy named Jeff Rosen. Now, my brother-in-law happens to be named Jeff Rosen. My brother-in-law is a lawyer. He runs the National Constitution Center. This is not that Jeff Rosen. This is the Jeff Rosen who worked with Bill Barr at Kirkland & Ellis, a law firm. Now, this Jeff Rosen is not your usual deputy attorney general and now acting attorney general. He's a normally the number 2 person at the Justice Department is a career official, a formerly career official who's been elevated into the political ranks, but someone who understands the department, who understands its traditions. So Eric Holder, for example, whom I worked for when I was in the deputy attorney general's office, was a career Justice Department person. This Jeff Rosen was Deputy Transportation Secretary. And he's going from that job to becoming the chief law enforcement officer of the entire United States. It's as remarkable a trajectory as lawyer, or your, as I call her, Jenna Ellis, who went from being a fired attorney in Colorado as a local prosecutor to the President of the United States' chief lawyer. Now, Rosen is a man of mystery. He's never been a serious player in Justice Department or law enforcement circles in his lifetime. And maybe that would be okay if you had an ordinary president. But today we have a president who spits on the Constitution and spits on the rule of law. And, you know, Nixon, for example, you know, if you think about the contrast with Nixon, Nixon had this whole crew of people around him that were indicted during his time. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, Dean, Colson, Magruder, Chapin, Liddy, Hunt, and 10 more, you know. And, but even Richard Nixon didn't pardon any of those folks. He had a modicum of honor to him, a dash of respect for the office of the presidency. Donald Trump has none. And so if you're attorney general, you really do need to have some spine. And so far, we see no evidence of any spine in Mr. Rosen. There are acting officials now everywhere throughout the federal government, the Secretary of Defense, the Department of Homeland Security, and now the attorney general, people who've never been confirmed by the Senate for these positions. And the transformation now of our government is complete, as Darth Vader might say. And we do see some troubling indicia about Mr. Rosen. Again, time will tell. The record here is sparse. But the New York Times suggests that Jeff Rosen was behind the Justice Department's decision to clear Donald Trump of wrongdoing with respect to his Ukraine involvements when he was trying to get dirt on Joe Biden and stuff like that. And also that he was behind the decision to keep the entire investigation of Donald Trump away from Congress and not let them know about it until whistleblowers came out. We also know that Mr. Rosen intervened over where Paul Manafort was being held, what prison. He wanted him to be in a nicer prison. This guy was the number two person at the Justice Department, and here he was making calls so that Trump's pal could be in a nicer prison. That is not something deputy attorney generals of the United States do. In the end, you know, if we think about Bill Barr, he was really pretty close to joining Team Kraken. He evidently flinched at the end. You know, he didn't go whole hog. He's kind of like Bill Barr is like almost Team Kraken. But we don't know where Rosen will be on the Team Kraken spectrum. Statistically, you'd think if we're losing Barr, that's a pretty good thing because Barr was so bad. You know, he's a low bar, no pun intended. But, you know, when you've got someone who's pretty much the worst attorney general ever, all you can largely do is go up. I mean, you know, Barr stood by during all these pardons of Trump's friends, including yesterday. You know, you got to wonder about Jeffrey Epstein. If he had just held out a little longer, I bet Trump and Barr would have pardoned him too. So arguably Barr leaving is a good sign in that Barr did virtually nothing to stop Trump from spitting on our Constitution and our most cherished principles like equal justice under law. But time will tell. There's one other piece of potentially good news about Jeff Rosen. In September, there was a Wall Street Journal article covering a speech that Mr. Rosen gave in which he urged federal prosecutors to consider charging demonstrators with sedition. Now, his target then was the Black Lives Matter movement, which is obviously reprehensible, the idea that this man will be suggesting such a thing. But it does suggest a somewhat capacious view of the sedition requirements. And right now, we do have a real threat in America, fomented by Donald Trump, people who want to try and overturn the election, people who want to declare martial law and things like that. And yes, there are statutes called sedition statutes that do prohibit that. And I'd like to see Mr. Rosen start thinking about using those when there is serious activity like this. Now, I'm going to take tomorrow off. But in the future episodes of Courtside, I'm going to talk about this, about martial law, and I'm going to talk about what's going to happen on January 6th, and we'll do a deep dive on that. So stay tuned. Merry uncanceled Christmas to you. Stay safe, everyone, and I'll see you on Saturday.